Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. I hope you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to or watching a Service Business Mastery podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett. If you're not familiar with this is a podcast focused on home service businesses. I say home service businesses, but it always trips me up because we do a commercial as well, light commercial. But home service business would kind of be considered anybody who crosses the threshold of the house as a service company, service provider. But our target with this show is to help provide answers to questions that you may not know you've even had for a service business owner or manager or a technician or someone who's thinking about starting their own home service business. And the questions that we focus mainly on are less technical questions. Like you have the HVAC School podcast with Brian Orr, a good buddy of mine. They're going to talk a lot more technical when it comes to HVAC. We talk more of the business side of things and soft skills and even answering the phones. And today's episode, that's what we're going to talk about. I have Michelle with Jill's Office here on the show today, and they provide a lot of services for answering call services. I don't like to say call center, not call center, like a call services, receptionist type things. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I'm going to say something wrong, but I will say that we're going to talk about artificial intelligence versus flesh and blood customer service. And we're on that brink of weird reality that we used to see like 20 years ago, which, by the way, is not 1980. That would be 2000. So just for those of you who also graduated in 02, yeah, that's 20 years ago. Wow. Anyways, we all thought that artificial intelligence was going to be, you know, Jetson-like flying cars, but in reality, it's coming. It's here. Communication-wise, as far as AI goes, sometimes artificial intelligence communicates better than I do, and other times it kind of will trip you up and get you into a bind. So we're going to talk a little bit about that on today's episode. And with that being said, I want to give a huge shout out to everybody who make these episodes possible. Justin and Noah and their team over at UpFrog are amazing guys, and their whole crew are great. They do rehash. They do communication. They do some artificial intelligence communication, actually, which is really cool, the way that it learns your reactions and can, it's more of a machine learning than artificial intelligence. So if a customer reacts one way, then it has a response that it will give, and it's learning and growing more every time I sign into that program. It's changed and updated something else, but they do a lot of that client communication and rehashing, re-engaging in clients, that type of stuff. So huge shout out to those guys at that team. And Billy and his team over at Sarah, that's a CRM. That's actually a CRM that we have recently moved over to. And it's great because it's very simple. That's what I love about it. It's if there's too many steps or it's too complicated to figure something out, it's not done at Sarah. And that's wonderful. I've loved that so far. So the team over at Sarah, they're great. If you have any need for CRM, if you're a growing business and you're tired of doing it all on QuickBooks Online, or you're trying to do it on a piece of paper and notepad and forgetting dispatching and notifications and everything else to the client, check out Sarah, the team over at Sarah. The team at Emerson, they're great people. They have recently been acquired by another company, and they're going through that whole the Copeland everything there. I don't know what I can and can't say, so I'm not going to say anything at all about it. But I will tell you that they are really interested in helping the contractors on the education side of things. So There's going to be some more to come here shortly about the education and everything that they're providing to the contractors. And I will keep you up to date on that. But a huge shout out to the team over there, Emerson, and continuing to make our trades even better. Last but not least, Company Cam, digital asset management tool, a DAM tool. Great. I always love saying that. But it is a great program to keep pictures. I love it because it keeps the metadata with our photos, and we can put a carousel up on the website, and that carousel has metadata in it. So whenever Google crawls our website and we've uploaded photos from the client's house or from a commercial job or something, and it will actually give Google some of that metadata. So when people do a Google search and they're searching for an HVAC contractor near me, and you have the metadata that shows a photo that's actually physically near that client's home, then boom, there you go. You're the nearest one. But I'm not an expert with all that stuff. That's more Josh's realm. And if you haven't noticed yet, it's very one-sided conversation. Josh is not talking because he's not here. He is going to be late, I think, to this episode. But if not, it sucks for him because he's going to miss some great stuff. But with that being said, I hope y'all have some great questions. If you are watching this live, don't hesitate to ask in the live chat. And if not, don't hesitate to reach out to us at servicebusinessmastery.com. There's a little icon at the bottom of the screen where you can record a question. So if you're thinking about something, just go to the website, hit that button, hold it down, record your question, and it comes to my phone and Josh's phone, and we will answer that question for you. But with that being said, let me make sure I can click the right button and let's get this show started. Hey, Michelle.
Hey there. So great to be here today, Tersh.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just excited. This is a fun topic.
Yeah, it is. So for those who don't know what Jill's office is and what y'all do, can you kind of give them a better explanation than what I fumbled over throughout the introduction?
Great. You know, I love that you fumbled over the call center answering service thing, because it's an identity crisis we constantly have, because
I imagine so.
An answering service or call center, but we feel like we're more than that. You know, when our company was started by Brant Thurgood, he actually was working at a call center at the time. His family was in the home services industry, but he was working at a call center for a bank and just like hated how bad it was there and how the culture there was awful. No one liked their job, just not really liking what they were training and teaching on how people should be on the phones. And he said, you know, we need to do something different, and realizing that need there is to have that friendly, amazing customer experience on phone calls, and how many hats, especially in the trades that the business owners are wearing, and just realizing they really need help with their phones. So he wanted to make something that was different. And so we definitely help people with their phones, but we do more than just be a glorified answering machine, but can actually feel and sound like we actually work with the company and be able to give pricing and quotes and do scheduling. And so take it and even do follow-up calls. So we can take it a little further than just your normal answering service. So
that is interesting. So I imagine it's got to be challenging to, you have to learn a lot of CRMs out there.
You know what we do? When we first started, we did all of them. Just every new CRM, we realized, okay, yeah, we'll learn that. But we realized it was a little hard to scale that way, in the fact that just we want to provide that great customer experience and service on the phone and be able to make sure we're answering calls quickly and moving the calls along. So we have a few that we actually log into, but then we also have any kind of online booking link, because that's pretty easy for us to learn. We could definitely use that.
Oh, that's cool. That is a great workaround too. So you can just act as if you're almost a client themselves, as long as their booking link goes into their CRM.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's smart. So that is interesting. I have some questions about that. I don't want to dive into that too much, but I will ask this question before we get onto our actual topic. Whenever you're actually doing that, do you have like a couple people who handle certain companies, or, cause I can't imagine how, cause I talked to some people and like our answering service is very much probably the one that people don't like. It's where sometimes they call our answer saying the right name and sometimes they call it something else. And
oh, no.
Then when you listen to the recording, you're like, we sound like a buffoon. But thank goodness it was 3 o'clock in the morning when that happened. So the person didn't really take them serious. How do you handle that? Like, as far as like when it feel like we are part of your company, you're part of our company.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, we do have pods of Jills, and that is based off what they've been trained in as far as systems go. So like we will log into Housecall Pro and Jobber and Responsibit and a few other CRMs, but then, and then we have some Jills that are trained in Online Booking Link. So we do separate into pods because we are 24/7. We haven't quite cracked the code yet of finding employees that will work 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
so
right.
You have to have more than a couple of people answering your calls, but it's within a team of Jills, and we have an in-house programming team. So we've actually built a custom call system that is set up specifically for home service industry. I mean, we take over 1 million calls a year in the trades, and we've been doing this for 7 years now. So we know a lot of what will happen on the calls. And so we've custom programmed a call screen that's set up so the Jills, as we call them, can easily find the information they need about your company, even pronunciation guides when needed. When we run into it, yours aren't that hard to pronounce though. But there are some that are a little harder. So, I mean, and we just have it totally customized for each account. So they know exactly in that moment, they are your receptionist and they see all the important information. There's even parts there to, if someone's lost, if it's a place where they're going to a location, that the caller of like key points of interest to kind of direct them. So we have a lot of just cool gadgets and things in there, being able to check service area. So we know if it's within your service area. So we can really help. I mean, we aren't going to be able to do everything. Obviously we're not the exact of having someone in office, but we follow that 80-20 rule that really 80% of the questions are going to get on calls. We're going to be able to help handle. And then that other 20%, we take amazing messages and can send it right over to you.
That's really cool. So do you have anybody who like they lost their office staff or they just did away with office staff altogether and just hired Jill?
We do. I mean, when you first say that, I'm thinking a lot of tragedies that I've heard of.
I know.
We recently had a client who she went out of the country for 2 weeks. She had an in-office admin and everything was good to go. She came back and, you know, was totally offline. And her admin had gotten sick and just decided not to work for over a week. And so she was devastated about how much money she lost. And she's like, why didn't I call you guys earlier? Because where most people use this as backup. They usually have some sort of in-office admin CSR that helps take those calls. But then we help cover, you know, when they're on the other line, when they're at lunch, before and after hours, when they take a vacation or when they are call out sick. There are some that we are there. Their primary answering all day long and just us, and that works as well. But primarily it's people that just kind of use this as overflow just to make sure no calls get missed.
Yeah. That's the worst thing in the world, especially if you're a Google user and you get your Google LSA is not answered. Like that's terrible. So
yeah, you just like flush money down the toilet.
Exactly. 100%. So let's dive into the artificial intelligence versus actually having someone. And that's a good, you know, kind of segue there, because there are some artificial things that you can do on Google, but the success may or may not be the same as if it was an actual person, live person answering the phone.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this a lot since really ChatGPT came out in November of what does this mean for customer service? You know, is customer service going to die? How is it going to change? And so obviously we don't have, you know, the glass ball to see the future, but everything that we know, and we've been talking with our programming team a lot too, like how do we use it to our advantage to make, you know, our service even better? And I don't believe that customer service, real life flesh and blood, will ever die completely. Right. And it's because we're, as humans, we're wired for connection. I mean, we think we're logical creatures, but we're really emotional creatures that, justify our decisions by logic. And so there is a need for humans to have that real contact. I actually was recently reading a study they did between 2020 to 2023. So, you know, COVID hit and everything. Uh-huh. And they found that the health of people was, if there was no social connection, it was as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So there's like an actual real biological need for connection. And I think we all saw that. It's interesting when ChatGPT came out, because we all felt that to a certain extent when we did go through COVID and so much of it was cut out. And then just, I mean, I don't know about you, but going to shows again and meeting people face to face was just this breath of fresh air. Because, you know, there's, I mean, obviously you still have Zoom, and which, why didn't we all invest in that heavily before?
Right.
But I mean, obviously that's there. So when it comes to ChatGPT and AI, I am a total tech nerd. Like, I love learning about the newest and latest technology and how can we use it. And I think that there are so many ways that it can make your business run more efficiently, that you can be smarter, that you can even replace certain roles within the company. I mean, I listened to Alex Ramosi. I don't know if you ever watch him.
Oh, yeah.
He gave a challenge to his team, said, I want you to replace yourself with AI. And
oh, scary.
Not that their job, but, you know, go right. And then we'll find something else for you to do. And so they had this challenge to do that. And I've been kind of trying to do that on my own. It's just like every week, what's one task I do that I can maybe replace with some sort of automation or AI. So I think there's a lot of power with that. But I think when it comes to connecting with your customers, there's always going to be a need still there for some sort of a live person.
So tell me this, so I have a perfect example. I'm going to leave all the names out anonymously because there's still some of it still going on. So let's say you have a customer and they leave a negative review, or not necessarily I guess it is negative, a not recommendation or something like that. And the things that they are saying are false on their negative review or whatever. And a business owner sees it, and they typically, especially a smaller business, smaller medium sized business, if a 1-star review comes in, it's coming to me quick. 5 stars might not take, they might not come as quick, even though we should be celebrating the 5-star reviews a lot. We get a lot of them. So not to pat myself on the back, but if a 1-star review came, it's coming quickly to be resolved. And so say that comes to a business owner, and then all of a sudden, business owner, we treat this business like it's our kid. And we take it personal whenever you say something negative about our kid, you know? And then the natural response is to be very emotional with the reply that happens. And before ChatGPT, my recommendation was whatever your reply is, wait a day before you actually hit send, because I've said things or typed out things and then read it the next day. And I'm like, yeah, I could probably be more tactful in what I'm saying there. Even at that time, I thought I was being not emotional. I thought I was being very logical. But since then, I've seen, and I do this all the time, actually, if anybody ever has a bad review, I will take that review and put the review into ChatGPT. And then I will put their response into ChatGPT and tell ChatGPT to reword the response.
Right.
And the response comes out very logical and not emotional at all, or enough emotion to make to make it sound right. Mm-hmm. But the logic is there. And I feel like if I like any responses that I have, the way that it sounds is very much like, okay, they're very professional and they want to make sure that they are providing the absolute best customer service, and they're not emotional, he said, she said type stuff. And which, that's the drama that we all want to read, but that's not the drama that we want as a business owner to be read about us. You know what I mean?
Right. No, 100%. And I mean, I think that's a perfect example, because I think ChatGPT can definitely help with, you know, phrasing and how can I make this better, giving you ideas on, I mean, even with like writing emails to your customers and your follow-up and all of that, but then always making sure you take the ideas and put yourself into it, because I think people can feel if there is actually a real human that's helped with parts of this. And I mean, when you're in communication, obviously they're going to tell, but in your written communication, I think ChatGPT is perfect to help you get it done faster, help come with ideas. but be careful. We played around with ChatGPT responses too. And sometimes it would offer like free service or things that we would never offer. And so we're like, okay, we can't rely on that completely, but could it help give ideas? And then you just kind of refine it, review it, make sure it looks right. Then absolutely.
Yeah. So Tony's live here on the chat live stream, and he says that, and he makes a good point here, that sometimes people need to hear the truth and the passion you actually have. I agree with that. At the same time, I get concerned with becomes too passionate, or like the next day I might be like, oh, well, I guess I could have toned it down a little bit. Whenever I'm doing a review, for those who are listening or watching this, if I'm ever doing a review, the person that's left the one-star review, 99% of the time, they're not coming back to look at that. Whatever your response is, they're spent with you. They're done. They just want to share their anger and be gone. Mm-hmm. My response is not for them. It's for every other person that ever comes to see and read the one-star reviews. They want to see if I get into a bad situation with them, are they going to get defensive and not help me? Or are they going to be overwhelmingly receptive to the feedback and want to help me? And so that's my whole target when it comes to answering a review to someone that's a bad review.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think that it's not that you can't have passion, but just making sure, like you said, you're very emotionally and close to it when it's raw. But after you've had a good sleep and kind of come back with fresh eyes, you might tweak it a little to still have your heart in it, but maybe make it a little more tactful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so absolutely. Great. What do you think about the new voice technology? Because there are programs out there that I'm playing with, and I'm not going to do I'm live streaming will never be replaced with AI because I have to be here to live stream. So don't get any kind of weird ideas about this, but there are programs out there where it's asking me questions and I'm answering the questions, and then I can type in everything that I want it to say, and it sounds just like me.
Yeah, I'm blown away with it. We've been playing a lot with it because we're trying to figure out what kind of communication tools can we create to better help our clients be able to serve their customers. And I think AI plays a big part in that. We're launching website chat where we can chat with your customers 24/7 at the end of the summer. And we're looking into different ways that possibly AI could help with that, with someone live to step in as needed. So I definitely think that there is a place for it. I think what you have to be careful of is just not to use it as a complete crutch and think it can solve everything. Because I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. It's Wednesday, right? On Monday, we just moved over. We have 150 employees right now, and we just moved over to a new payroll system, which was a big ordeal.
Oh, fun.
Monday was the first payday. Okay. And so everything should have gone perfectly. Nobody got their direct deposit. So you can imagine. And I mean, we've got receptionists, they're living paycheck to paycheck. Like, everyone is freaking out, and our poor owner is like sweating bullets. And we find out that the new payroll company, they forgot to check the box that we are doing direct deposit. I mean, everything else on the whole onboarding, it took like a whole month to onboard.
Right.
And so like, we were on the call phone with them. Hey, we need help now. Now, if we got an AI in that situation, we would not be satisfied. We need to talk to someone that knew how to help us resolve this, could give us empathy, could, you know, really help us through that. Mm-hmm. And we needed a real life person to do that. And I mean, same thing, if they're, you know, my toilet's flooding, my HVAC is broken, and like, you know, my kids are burning up. Like, a robot is not going to be the same as someone that can actually empathize with me, give clear answers, and just, there's that emotional connection that's just missed. And those situations that the AI is just not going to completely know how to handle. And that's where I think it's important to have some sort of system that there is someone that can step in 24/7 for that live help on all the different communications, whether it's through text, with website chat, with phone. You know, a lot of people have been using it on their social social media, which again, I think is a great way to at least capture the lead, but they aren't going to be able to always take it all the way to the sale. And so yeah, having someone live that can actually step in and form that, it's so important. I mean, I think the internet is, you know, I was laughing when you said 20 years, because I always think of 1982. I'm like, okay, that's so true. Right. But I mean, the internet has totally leveled the playing ground that you can't even really compete. You can compete on price, but even that is harder now. And yeah, really what the competitor is the customer experience. And so how can you use AI to make a better customer experience? But if you crutch on it too much, you're going to lack.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And not only that, like you can't delegate anything by abdication. You can't just say, go away and never look at it again. You have to double check it, even if you are using AI. And there are some workflows that I've used in the past where I thought they were all great. Well, a link broke in an automated response, and it was a link on our website that I changed. I did it myself. I take full responsibility for changing the link because I'd wanted to change the way it set the wording at the end of the, you know, serviceemperor.com/something. And I wanted it to be shorter and more to the point. Well, I didn't update it in that system, in that workflow. So when that automation happened, people kept getting broken links. And I'm just like a lot of other people. If you send me something and I'm like, oh, that's cool, and I click it and the link's broken, I'm like, all right, ADD is kicking in. Let's go move to something else. Like, 100%. I'd never respond with, hey, that link was broken, or rarely ever. And so I just happened to test it on myself one day, and I clicked on it just to see what it looked like on my phone, and the link was broken. And I was like, oh my gosh, how long has this been doing this? And it wasn't something that was used a lot or anything like that. It was a very random link. So it wasn't the end of the world, but I was thinking to myself, man, if I did this, you know, on a booking link for like tune-ups and, you know, had 200 people click a link that didn't work, like I can't go back and just send the link again. I mean, I can, but that gets annoying because that feels salesy too. It's like, oh, I never, because half the people that didn't click the link, and I send them another thing that says, oh, I actually sent you the wrong link last time. They're like, yeah, right, whatever, I just didn't click it, so you want me to click it this time? So I don't want it to be like that feeling either. So it's one of those things where, like, if you are doing that, you know, machine learning, AI response type stuff, you gotta make sure that it's actually going to the right places as well.
Right.
So yeah,
I agree. You got to check that, and whatever is automated, double check it. But 100%. I mean, we were talking before the show, you know, you got your two businesses and you have kind of the higher end one and then the more economical one, and how there's a different level of customer service between the 100%. Two companies. And I found that fascinating.
So whenever we were talking a little bit about the client base, which we have the homeowner of a rental property is the customer or the client of TriStar or the property management company. And their property management company's job is to make sure that the house is taken care of and the maintenance is provided, or, you know, the house is in good shape, but not to be doing all the fancy stuff. And Service Emperor's customer, they're more, you know, clean air, like, let's focus on customer experience and all your clients, you know, comfort levels in the home and everything else. And people ask me all the time, like, oh, it's good, you have two businesses. So if like one business is slow and your other business is busy, you can just take a technician and move them from one to the other. No, you can't, because the mindset of the technicians are completely different. We teach them completely different ways of doing things. You have to provide customer service, great customer service for a rental property, but that's not the renter themselves are not the customer who's paying for the invoice. So that's not the person that you need to ultimately please at the end of the day. It's the property management company. Whereas the other one, you are going in and you're providing the experience. If you're going to be 20% more, 30% more than your competitor, you have to provide an amazing customer service experience in order to justify that and not end up with bad reviews. And so, yeah, that customer experience is definitely a difference between the two companies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at McDonald's versus Apple. Okay, so McDonald's, their employees are almost, I mean, they probably at least half of them, if not more, because they have all those self-checkout machines, which I personally love. Like if I'm going in for fast food, I usually got some hangry kids in the car, then I want in and out fast. I know what I want. I just want to put the order in and get it to me. And I often don't even want to talk to anyone. I'm just like, I'm not in the mood, right? Just give me my food. So that to me makes complete sense. But you know, I was in Apple store last week buying a new laptop and there is no self-checkout there. I mean, they're giving you the white glove treatment from start to finish. They want to make sure you're set up with the right machine. Do you have the right memory? And I'm sure AI could do that. And who knows, maybe they'll change and figure out a cool way to do it. But right now I wanted to actually, again, talk to someone and I wanted to ask them, well, tell me, should I buy it? Is it worth the upgrade to M2 versus M1? And tell me from your own experience, not just what a machine would tell me. And again, that's just that higher level. And that's why they can charge what they do, insane amounts for phones and everything else, because they just provide that amazing service and amazing products. And so I think, again, when you think about your company, what parts of your business can you automate? What sections of your business or what businesses can you turn more to AI? But what parts of it really need that handheld white glove? Because I think as AI comes more and more apparent in our whole economy, I think that's what's going to actually set apart the 5 stars from the 4 stars and below, is how much is human involved, because so much of it is going to be overtaken by AI. And so it really can be what sets you apart.
So, fun fact, you mentioned the kiosk at McDonald's, and McDonald's and Service Emperor are different because McDonald's has a lot more money than Service Emperor.
Just a little bit more money.
So they can spend money on research and they know what does and doesn't work. I had a love hate relationship with the kiosk at McDonald's to start with. And it's stemmed from the kiosk from Walmart, really, if we're going to be honest about it, because I felt like they were doing something to get away from employee interaction, the employee experience, like you mentioned with Apple, without actually doing it. And they were making it more of a hassle for the customer. And it's not a streamlined process. Whereas I feel like McDonald's is a very streamlined process to do the kiosk. One thing that I learned about the McDonald's, it is not true with Walmart. This is only McDonald's out of those two in this conversation. The kiosk at McDonald's or at Walmart, pain in the butt. The kiosk at McDonald's actually increased their sales by 10%.
Interesting.
Because it repeatedly offered things that the people were not offering anymore.
Upselling. That's smart.
Upsells. I've noticed at that the end.
Actually. Yeah. Smart. Right.
And they get me with that stupid apple pie. And right. And so like, that's one of those things where it's like, that's a perfect example of when AI could be good and when it could be bad.
Oh, yeah.
But the challenge is McDonald's has a lot of money and they have, and here's one thing that's crazy. We have a place called Joe Max. It's a local restaurant, great place to go. Family, very small, only one location. They close at 2 o'clock on Sundays. They close at, you know, like 7 o'clock on the weekday. Like they're not the people, they're not there to get rich. They're there because they make really good food and they stay busy when they are open. it's wild to me how many times McDonald's can make a mistake and people will still go back to McDonald's, but let Joe Max make a mistake and they're going to just run them into the ground and not talk and not go there ever again, or go one time, you know, wait 6 months to go back. So McDonald's has that. What I'm getting to is McDonald's has the ability to make terrible mistakes, provide horrible customer service, and people are still going to continue to go to McDonald's. We as a home service company, we don't have that opportunity. We don't get to make that mistake over and over and over and over again to just test out these theories and these processes and hope, fingers crossed, that the consumer is going to come back. They're not going to. It's just not going to happen. I hate that. I hate that McDonald's gets to make cheap food, make more money, and make tons of mistakes and have horrible customer service and terrible long waits, and people still continue to go back there. And they won't give the small business owner that has a kid on your kid's soccer team the same chance, but it's the reality of the world.
Yeah, that is a total injustice. That would be a whole interesting podcast of, of that topic. But you know what? It's very true. So I think the takeaway is you got to do what you know is already working. So when it comes to your home service business, have an online booking link option available on your website, because you have all those people that just want to self-checkout. They know what they need. They don't have questions. Provide that easy way for them to schedule. People love that. You know, have chat on your website. If you have some sort of bot or AI on there, that's great, but have an option that they can talk to someone. Because I don't know about you, I might have a quick question, but I'm always like, agent, what are the magic words to get me to someone? I mean, I was in New York last week and my flight home got canceled because of weather. I was flying on JetBlue. And I was on there, I couldn't get another flight for like 2 days in advance. And I had some important meetings I need to get to. And I'm on their website trying to find a number to call. And the only thing they had was this chat that was just a bot, and I could not get a real person. And I was so frustrated. So like, you need to have an option to get to someone live. There might be instances where someone can just get a quick answer through the bot or through the AI. So again, I would have some sort of option on there. And then again, with your phones, quite frankly, we're working on programming an AI answering service that would be an option to people as a more economical level for some situations. But then for all of them, we're going to recommend, but have a backup of real live Jills that can also answer and step in as needed. And I mean, some might opt for the AI, some might not want it at all, but I think you need to make sure you have some option in all your communications to have someone step in live to help, because otherwise you're going to lose that customer. And like you said, they're not going to give you a second chance. Most of the
time. They don't. It's crazy. Like every once in a blue moon, they will. Maybe if you're in a small town or something, I don't know. Right. But
there's no one else. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you have that market cornered. But for home service industry, it doesn't seem to be the case. It's like they're going to try you once or twice. And then once you've messed up, then you're gone. Like you're dead to them. It's like, okay.
Yeah. You can. I mean, if your cleanup of whatever went wrong is amazing, you can win them back and actually get them even better. But yeah, it's harder. And yeah, if it's something where you don't have an opportunity to clean it up, I mean, I have so many people that have shared with me negative reviews, just saying nobody answered the phone and they left this negative review, which it's like, how do you even correct that? We'll call again. We'll answer it this time. So, I mean, making sure you have something in place to try to avoid those as much as possible is key.
You know, you mentioned that, and it's funny you mentioned that during this time period, because we actually changed VoIP providers 2 weeks ago. We had our calls, our phone number swapped over, and I can't remember what it's called, but we swapped over from one VoIP provider to the other, and we had random people who just like sent a message over Facebook or email and said, yeah, I've called 3 times and nobody's answered. I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, I thought we crossed everything. We dotted every I and crossed every T to make sure that when this happens, we're not going to have any interruptions in the phone service. And here we are like getting notifications that we have 12 missed phone calls. Like, why do we have 12 missed phone? It never rang. Like all of a sudden we're missing phone calls. And and it's like, well, you have to delete the software and then reinstall it on your phone. And like, oh my God, like, how did I know that? Like, I didn't know that. But anyways, like, thankfully they had everybody's phone number that called, and we just went through and just called everybody back as quickly as possible. But still, it was like four hour time period where it was just, we weren't getting any phone calls, or we were getting random sporadic phone calls. And it was enough to where it wasn't super alarming. But then once we got the notifications that popped up saying that we had a bunch of abandoned calls or missed calls, then all of a sudden I'm freaking out over here, wondering what the heck's going on and hoping we didn't piss off any customers and burn any bridges. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, they say 78% of, for 70% of the time, whoever answers the call first is going to get the deal when it comes to home service. So, I mean, that it's just vital to have that in your business, and double checking your systems that they're always working.
Right. Yeah. Dude. I had a friend of mine who, he came to the office. Like, he gets to the office at like 10 o'clock and he stays late into the evening each day. So he like takes the kids to school or whatever in the morning, and he purposely gets there at like 10 o'clock, and he pulled into the driveway and walked into the office, and he was like, it's eerily quiet in here. and there was like, I think four people sitting there at the front desk answering his phones and stuff. And they kind of looked at each other and they're like, yeah, it's kind of been like that today. Oh, and man. All of a sudden he's like, has anybody called the office? And I'm like, no. And they called the office and it did. It went to a dead dial tone. So from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., none of the phone calls came through at all.
Hey, at least it was only 4 hours and not 4 days. I mean, I've seen that before.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? No, like in the middle of summer. In the middle of summer, you're like, oh, it's nice. This is a nice break we're having. We're not stressed out. The phone's not blowing up. And then you're like, oh crap, that just cost me a lot of money.
That was money. Yeah. I know. I was talking to a new client the other day, or just this morning actually, and they were telling me that they calculated that they lost $1 million from calls going to voicemail this year so far. And that's only the ones that actually left a voicemail. And so it's so painful to hear that. It's just money.
People still have voicemails?
I know, right? It exists.
I don't know that we have. But then again, if we had a voicemail, that probably would have caught those handful of calls that one day.
I guess it would have gone somewhere.
Yeah, right. True.
If they wait to leave one. Yeah.
Right. If it's, I mean, I find maybe you know this more than I do. How long will people let it ring before they hang up? Do you know?
You know, I've never seen any cold study on that, but yeah. I think in general, you really want to pick it up within the first 3 or 4 rings max, you know, but I mean, people will wait a little bit longer if they feel like something's happening, even if you have some sort of mini cue message in there, letting them know, hey, someone's going to be right with you after a few rings. But yeah, I mean, if you're letting it ring for 2 or more minutes with no communication at all, then
stay on. I found that I watched it a couple of years ago on ours because we had this like delay with our CRM where it would like, everybody knows who I'm talking about. If you have the CRM, because you deal with it, where you rings and then it takes a few seconds or just a enough of a time to where it's a noticeable delay between the two. Where the customer actually, it connects, the phone line actually connects. And so I watched it. I went through probably a year's worth of our history, just looking at it, just curiosity sake. And I found that if I didn't have if it didn't pick up and say, I don't remember what the automated thing is. It just says, hey, we're answering the phone. Your voicemail, this voice message might be recorded for quality assurance or testing or whatever. If it didn't pick up that aspect of it within about 32 seconds, that's whenever that is the very first initial drop off that I noticed.
Sure. Yeah.
People started. Seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, because there were times where it took 10 to 14 seconds just for it to connect between the two programs. Like the two programs were talking to each other, the phone service and the CRM. And so you really only had 15 to 16 seconds to answer that or to initiate that call tree before they started hanging up because now, the last time I checked, it's like 5 or 6 seconds of a delay, but there was a time there where it was 15 seconds worth of delay. So that means you had half the time to actually answer the phone. So you had to be Johnny on the spot picking up the phone.
Sure. Well, and I mean, with that too, make sure you got something in place. Cause I mean, sometimes there can be a bad connection too, even if it's only like a second or two, and then they don't know if you hung up on them. So one thing that does set us apart too, is we actually have a program that if someone hangs up, whether it's only 1 second or longer than that, we call every single person back. I know some people have it set up to send an automatic text if you miss a call. But again, just make sure you've got something set up. AI in that situation is going to be better than nothing to call anyone back that you might have missed as soon as possible.
That's really cool. I don't have the ability to do it currently, but I'm working on a Zapier integration where if we do miss a call, that we can automatically send a booking link back as a text message. But that assumes that they're calling from a cell number. If they're calling from a landline, obviously it wouldn't work. But yeah, that is a really cool process that you have built in, because there is nothing more annoying than whenever, like if I'm talking to my team and I have like a list. I'll just, of course, like I'm every wonderful business owner where I like bombard you with this random list of questions that you're not prepared for. And I'll say, hey, here's a list of, you know, last week's missed calls. Did you call everybody back? And then they're like checking all of them off. And if I see a couple of them in there that didn't get called back, or they didn't get called back for like 4 hours or something crazy like that. And then like, it drive me bonkers. But I mean, there's nothing that's more annoying than that, because you got to figure the average ticket. I mean, if a lead costs $50 on the low end and they just clicked it, called it, you missed the call. Google's recording the whole thing. And now Google's like, oh, they don't answer their phones. You just lost the lead. Plus you're going down in the rankings for Google. So yeah, it's way more than just not answering a phone call.
Right. Well, and then if they go with somebody else, that's a, you know, potential $5,000+ job, you know, depending on what they're needing, that you just lost there. And that adds up. I mean, the average business owner misses 2.5 calls a day. And even if your average job is only $500, you know, that's going to be
paying for deals right there.
That's definitely, like, one call pays for it for the whole month oftentimes. But I mean, you're looking at $500 a day, potentially, you know, over a week, you know, thousands of dollars over a month, 10,000 plus. I mean, serious money just by missing a couple of dollars a day. You know, so to have some system in place, that's what I always tell everyone, have something in place.
Yeah. Cool, Jill. Jill, I just
read. I go by Jill all the time.
Michelle, sorry, Michelle. I appreciate you hanging out with me and chatting with me. Is there anything else that, where can people learn more about Jill's office?
Oh, yeah. Go check out our website, jillsoffice.com. We just love to chat and help you figure out how to best set up your phone for success, whether it's us or whatever. We just like to make sure you got some system in place.
Cool, Michelle. I appreciate you hanging out with us. If anybody has any questions at all, don't hesitate. Reach out to Michelle over at Jill's, or reach out to me, and I'll get you connected with them. But I hope you have a wonderful and safe week. Until we talk again next time, thank you for hanging out with us on Service Business Mastery Podcast. Thank you again, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.